and this is Coast Community Radio. KMUN Astoria, 91.9, KTCB Tillamook, 89.5, coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world. And I hope it's warmer than here, although it is 37 degrees. We're going up, but not for long, because tonight we're supposed to go down to 28 and there is a chance of snow. Now, I don't know how far down the snow is going to come, so just be careful driving. I appreciated the warning this morning that I got, and we all just need to drive slowly and mindfully, which is a good way to live life. Well, I don't know about the slow part, but the mindful part. Hey, folks, it's 2:59 here at Coast Community Radio, and it is time for Arts Live and Local with Carol. That's moi, your host. Arts Live and Local is brought to you in part by Columbia River Coffee Roaster, wholesaling fresh roasted coffees since 1992 at 279 West Marine Drive, the Old Finnish Meat Market. With Three Cups Coffee House up front, espresso, coffee, homemade baked goods, Wi-Fi, and gifts open every day. Nice to have a hot drink. Support for Arts Live and Local comes in part also from Coast Weekend, your source for arts and entertainment news in the Columbia Pacific. Published weekly in the Wednesday Chinook Observer, the Thursday Daily Astorian, and online at coastweekend.com. There's a lot going on again, and as long as you drive carefully, I hope you're able to take advantage of some of it. I've got some great guests, but I want to start out the show with a shout out. Got a couple of happy birthdays to Lena and Chuck. And then I have a couple of memories. And that goes to Carol Fenton and Rabbi Aryeh Hirschfield, both of whom left us on January 6, 2009. Let's start out with the Browns Meet Flats with a song that Carol and Joan wrote together, Porch Swing. Thanks for being here, folks.
There's a house on a hill with a porch and a swing, and we sit and we watch the world go by. Gentle breeze, restless leaves, eagles fly through the sky, and we sit and we watch go by. There's a house on a hill with a porch and a swing, and we sit and we watch the world go by. Doze, curled up close, swing and sway, lazy day, and we swing and we watch the world go by. There's a house on a hill with a porch and a swing, and we sit and we watch the world go by. Scarlet sun, day is done. Stars shine bright, fill the night. And we kiss, we have watched the world go by. There's a house on a hill with a porch and a swing. And we sit and we watch the world go by. There's a house on a hill with a porch and a swing. And we sit and we watch the world go by. There's a house,
there's a house
on a hill,
on a hill
with a porch,
with a porch
and a swing,
and a swing.
And we sit,
and we sit,
and we watch the world go by. There's a house,
there's a house
on a hill,
on a hill,
with a porch,
with a porch
and a swing,
and a swing.
And we sit,
and we sit,
and we watch the world go by. And we sit, and we watch will go by. And we sit and we watch the world go by.
I believe in the power of art. I believe it can open a heart, broaden a mind, spark a conversation, and change the world, says Kitchens. In these times of anti-intellectualism and echo chambers, the vision I strive for as a theater worker is a more intellectually curious community that meaningfully engages with ideas and with people. We, as an arts organization, will be producing compelling artistic events and educational programs that will provide the spark and space for that to happen. That is not from here, but I think it states a lot of what we feel around here about the arts and about theater in particular. And my first two guests are involved in the world of theater right now. The hats they're wearing today, at least, because they both wear different hats. So I have Edward James, who is the director of the upcoming David Ives production, All in the Timing. And I have Patrick Webb, and I presume he's acting, but I don't really know, because I'm going to let them tell you. And I saw a suspicious picture, which led me to believe that the director might also be acting.
Yep.
Uh-huh. I saw a photo. And I said, I know that guy. So welcome,
hello,
Edward and Patrick.
Thank you for having us, that's Carol. Thanks great for all you do to promote the arts.
Well, thank you, Patrick, and vice versa. So the play is, as I mentioned, David Ives, All in the Timing. And it's, I'm not familiar with it, but it's written as five contrasting scenes focusing on words, language, and miscommunication. Sounds like a very timely piece.
Actually, it's it's six pieces.
Oh, but, six. Okay.
Yeah, it's six short pieces, about around 15 minutes each. And it's, humorous to begin with. It's a very, very funny play, but it is smart. And it's based on kind of philosophical concepts. The first piece, for instance, a couple meets at a cafe, and they don't get it right. And they get another chance, and another chance, and another chance, and another chance, and another chance, until they finally do get it right. In another piece, three monkeys are caged and sitting at typewriters, testing out the theory that given infinity, these monkeys would eventually type Hamlet. And it's very funny, but it's also very poignant because these monkeys are nothing more than experimental animals in a cage.
Ugh.
You know, so they're they're prisoners as well as
yes.
A large part of the budget for the show has been bananas.
And peanuts.
Well, meanwhile, though, now that you're mentioning, both of those sound familiar to me. I don't know whether they have been performed here in Clatsop County before.
There was a Reader's Theater.
Years and years ago?
Oh, it's within the last couple of years.
Oh, really?
At the Liberty. And I wanted to stage it fully at the PAC. I was looking for something to do at the PAC that wasn't overly ambitious set-wise and where I could concentrate on working with actors and working with language. This play is about language. This guy is a wordsmith, extraordinaire. In the piece that Patrick's in, it's called Universal Language. It's about a con man who invents a language kind of like Esperanto, the universal language. And he sets out to sell his course to anybody. And he gets one to come in the door, and the consequences are rosy in the end. But what's amazing about it is he's speaking this Blizzardo language. And by the time we get through, we're understanding what they're talking about.
Oh my.
It was kind of amusing because my wife encouraged me in this one. I was reading, Edward was giving me a note about it, and it said that this character spoke gibberish. And my wife said, well, you'd be perfect for that role, dear.
I'm thinking the same thing.
Oh,
so
thanks a lot, Carol.
Can you give us...
No, I don't want to spoil it.
You can't give us a preview. Yeah. Well, okay. So now
The character does
Velcro, Belljar Froiling.
Yes, that's as much Velcro, Belljar Froiling.
Yeah, but he's really good at that.
Yeah, well, you might hear. It's, the interesting thing is David Ives. Years ago, he was a college teacher, and he was also a translator of Italian and German, and quite a sort of high level one. And it's interesting, the script has these words in occasionally, like mit, which is the German for with, and molto, as in molto blizzardo, meaning
many.
Very strange.
Oh.
And of course, molto is, I believe, Italian, maybe a musical term, but it means large or very big.
Yeah.
So these words sort of creep in. So the idea is that the character may speak gibberish, but hopefully you start to attune your ear and sort of understand what he may or may not be saying.
Well, and you probably have had this experience, and Edward as well, traveling in countries where English is not spoken and perhaps...
Like Oregon and...
Yeah, well, that's what I was worried about, yes. Where American is not spoken either. But being in a country where words don't work and having to communicate without words, and that's when I teach folk dancing, I start off that way with the children and show them how incredibly well we can communicate without words, because I speak to them in a different language, in Hebrew, actually, which none of them understands. And then I look at them and I say, what's wrong? Well, you were speaking Spanish. I said, no, I wasn't speaking. There's a Spanish, but, you know, that kind of thing. Until they, But yeah.
It's a comparable experience. I went to Africa once for my brother's wedding, and the country I was in, they speak Wolof and Mandinka and Fula, which I'm sure all of our listeners are very familiar with. And I got by with a little schoolboy French, although I think I may have used the occasional rude word that I'd picked up in a rather adult magazine and that I'd stolen from my Paris hotel room.
Oh, dear. But I'd probably... do you keep him under control, Director Edward?
Oh, I can match his wits.
Oh, yeah, wits. It's
or I can mash his wits. Well,
there
as
we
the case
go.
Maybe.
Put him back in the cage.
He basically tells us what to do. Yeah. Well, talking of cages, I don't. Has it come up that Edward is one of the chimpanzees in the show? You've probably seen his picture in the Daily Estorian Coast Weekend magazine, and hopefully it will be publicized elsewhere. But Edward is directing himself in one of the six segments, and it's called Words, Words, Words. It's with two very talented actors joining him, Justin Guermond and Amber Bletcher. And they are very, very funny indeed.
I try to hold up my end.
Do you be the straight man, or do you get to be funny too?
I'm Swift. I'm Jonathan Swift.
Oh,
the three monkeys.
Milton,
are named...
Kafka, and Swift are the monkeys.
Oh,
yeah.
Fun!
So, if you're of a literary bent, you can listen to them, and you'll hear the occasional quote from Milton that you may or may not recognize, and then a little of Swift's rather satirical stuff. And Kafka is a mystery to me, but I believe
Why
there's some
am
of that
I
thrown.
Kafka?
Yes,
there's thrown
Why
in.
Am I Kafka?
I love Kafka. That's my favorite. But it sounds as though people can read this play, meaning when they're seeing it, read it in their heads at many different levels, and so you can just sit and enjoy it and laugh, or you can capture some of the more poignant moments. Perhaps you need to see it twice.
You mentioned something at the very beginning of this. I think theater has a new role in the coming world, and that is the savior of language. That language is diminishing in this world and morphing in all kinds of different ways. But plus just the ability to think, is partly missing from our educations, our general education, not just schools, but media and so on. And that's what this play does, is encourages you to think. One of the pieces is about the death of Trotsky. Mm. It's called Variations on the Death of Trotsky, and it starts from the simplest premise, which is Trotsky was killed by a Spanish communist who put a mountain ice axe into the back of his head in Mexico City, where he was in exile. He lived for a day. So Variations on the Death of Trotsky is that day.
Wow.
What he thought about that day. And his conclusion is, doesn't it give you hope that a man can live on for a whole day with a mountain climber's axe in the back of his skull?
We should probably mention at this
point. That's optimistic, isn't it?
It is not a very gory show. There's not going to be
great
gobs of blood dripping
I'm glad
Jim Dott's head.
Jim
Dott's
in
that.
Oh,
he plays Trotsky,
fun.
And I think he's going to be very funny indeed. Patricia Shannon plays his wife, and then Barry Sears has a role in that too.
Great.
And I think they are very amusing together.
So this sounds like it's an Astoria cast. Lately, we've been having Cannon Beach and Astoria mix it up. But this sounds like...
I think we're from all over, to be honest.
Well, we got some Long Beach people.
There's a foreigner in the group. Jordan Griffin's here, and another actress called Gigi Chadwick is here. She was in a play down in Cannon Beach last summer, throughout the whole summer, and did very well there, and was just thirsting for more. And she is very funny indeed.
She's wonderful. An experienced actress, a Portland actress.
Oh, wonderful.
Of a time ago, and
so you really do have a mixed.
But most of them do have regular occupations.
You think? Oh, you mean
other than us men of have leisure.
That's right. Come to the radio. We beach bums who have time to go to the radio station during the...
You old men, you mean? Is that what you're trying to say? Meanwhile, you know what we haven't told people is when this is happening. And since it's called All in the Timing, I think the timing is extremely important. It is not this weekend, but the following 2 weekends. So it opens on Friday the 13th. Yep. Friday the 13th and Saturday the 14th at 7 p.m. and then Sunday the 15th at 4 p.m. Note that down, folks, 4 p.m. Not 2, not 3, but 4. And then on the following weekend, it's the 20th and 21st at 7 p.m., Friday and Saturday, and then Sunday the 22nd at 4 p.m. All of this is taking place in the wonderful Performing Arts Center, which we've been calling the PAC, 16th and Franklin in Astoria. And I believe you can get your tickets at the door. Is
Absolutely,
there?
Yeah. You can pay cash or check. We're not set up for credit cards, but we will take checks.
And we also take donations for the Performing Arts Center because that's the building that we, a group of people, all the users, have been trying to save for, it's probably at least 4 years now.
And this play is a fundraiser. This play is a fundraiser for the PAC, for the partners of the PAC.
And did you also receive a grant?
We did.
Let me address that
because it's very important. We wouldn't be able to do a production without it. The Clatsop County Cultural Coalition gave us $1,235 from funds from the Oregon Cultural Trust.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure all our listeners are well aware that there's this statewide program where you donate money to the Oregon Cultural Trust. It's invested, it makes more money, and it does come back to the local community.
And it is a credit, not a deduction, but a credit on your own taxes.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
It's an amazing deal. It's one of my favorite things to be able to give them money,
and
take it off my taxes.
There
and
is an organization that based locally with some wonderful folks that run it called the Clatsop County Cultural Coalition.
Right.
And every year in the early part of December, they get together and they hand out. And I think this year it was $11,000 to different organizations.
Yeah, from all
ten,
over the
chunk of 10 different organizations.
Yeah, from all different genres, too.
And it you know, it really works. It really works. Mm-hmm. I've seen the difference in the 10 years I've lived in this town of how much more active the artistic community has become. And
supported.
It's one of the things that people who come here love about the area is that it is, there are things to do, things to go see, things to become involved
in. I know originally it was, but you're so far from Portland, and now it's, I don't have the need to go to Portland. There are certain things, but my God, we've got people coming here to our area. I know that Storm Large is coming back again. She's coming to the Coaster in March, and we have Alistair Fraser coming. These are national and international names, and the Portland Cello Project is coming to the Liberty right next week. So we have so much going on. Again, this is David Ives, All in the Timing. Get ready to laugh, get ready to think, and also to enjoy the 6 contrasting scenes. I hope you're going to give us a little bit of space between the scenes to kind of...
We'll give you some music in between.
Okay, good.
But not long enough to check your phone.
Oh, God. Don't get me started.
One of society's big problems is people at the theater checking their phone and not turning it off again afterwards.
No, we confiscate them at the door. No, we don't. Just kidding, folks.
It's certainly worth a thought, isn't it?
Bring your checkbooks and your cash. Again, as was said, no credit card machines at the PAC. 16th and Franklin, Friday and Saturday and Sunday next weekend and the following weekend. And a big thank you to the Clatsop County Cultural Coalition and to the Partners for the PAC and to the cast. And do you have a crew on this as well?
Barely.
Barely crew.
Isaac Gray and Hallie Mossman.
Oh, good. Good.
Lights and stage manager.
The voice you just heard, Edward James, the director and chimpanzee, and Patrick Webb, strictly a monkey. Is that what we have?
No, I'm not a monkey. My character name is a very easy one. Don Finninaganagan. But if you want to know more, you're going to have to come and see the
show.
And
I can't wait to see it. Thank you so much for coming in,
Thanks,
Patrick.
Thanks, Carol. And
Edward.
I agree with Patrick. Thanks for all you do for the arts.
Thank you.
Love your show.
Don't make me cry.
Thanks
okay.
for having us.
Coming up, I've got some music for you from Kelsey Mosley, because she is going to be the featured musician, Kelsey Mosley Band from Portland. But Kelsey herself is a Seaside High School graduate about 10 years ago, and she brings her music back to the coast. This is the Tillamook Head Gathering, which is happening tomorrow from 7 to 9 at the Seaside Convention Center. And if you were listening, you heard Mark Mizell talk about it last week right here on Arts. It benefits all the funds that come in, and everything's being donated, including the food from the stand. It goes to the arts experience at Seaside High School. Here's Kelsey Mosley, and you are listening to Coast Community Radio Arts Live and Local, with a big shout out to Nova Scotia and the folks who are leaving and coming back to the West Coast. We love you all.
All these words run through my mind. Oh, it's just the sweetest kind. I felt it, I felt it. Felt it all this time. I came like I said I would. So take me home so I can show you how it should be. Oh, with me. Early morning hit me high. Chasing dreams, you are a nice alarm. I felt it. Oh, I felt it. I felt it. These words run through my mind. Oh, it's just a sweet sky. I felt it, yeah. I felt it, yeah. I felt it all this time. I felt it, yeah. I felt it, yeah. I felt it all this time. I felt it, whoa, I felt it, yeah. I felt it all this time. So I felt it, I felt it, I felt it.
That was Kelsey Mosley Band, and again, she will be at the Tillamook Head Gathering tomorrow, 7 to 9, at the Seaside Convention Center. And, eek, oh, I wanted to tell you what that was. Ah, here it is. That particular piece was The Sweetest Kind. Who could ask for anything more? How lovely. So, my next guest is here, and I don't think he needs much introduction, but I'm going to give it anyway. And that would be Noel Thomas, who is our esteemed artist, watercolorist, sketcher, all-time good guy, generous member of the community, who has a show opening, a new show opening, at the River Sea Gallery next week again on Saturday night, which is Art Walk. And the show is called Pages, Noel Thomas Sketchbooks. And apparently it's a little different from a lot of what you see of Noel's in the gallery. So I've asked him here to tell us what it is we are going to see. Welcome, Noel Thomas.
Okay, thank you, Carol. I'll never get used to coming here. I've been here many times.
Many times.
I'll start off by saying 2 years ago, when I woke up on my birthday, I was 80 years old.
Oh, 2 years ago you were 80? Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, so I'm older.
You
by 2 years.
Are? I didn't know that. Okay.
But I don't like to talk about that. So I woke up and I said, you know, at this age, I think I want to do something different with my art. I had not spent too much time with plein air painting, being out there in it, bugs, wind, rain, whatever might happen. You're out there trying to deal with that. And I had always admired people that would do that, but I never really dove into it. I told my wife, I told Janine, I said, I don't think I'm going to do a show this year. I want to go out and learn how to paint out in the open air. So that's what I've been doing. I'd get in my car every morning and just drive, go anywhere, anywhere. That turn, that street, go that way, and run into things that interested me. So I started sketching and painting what was in front of me. And after a while, I realized I've got an awful lot of these sketches and small paintings that I don't know what I'll ever do with them. So I talked to Janine about doing a show where we would hang all these sketches, and there are 97 of them.
Oh, my goodness. I know.
And I've got another 50 at home.
Oh, wow.
Which are just, they're not intended for gallery work. I didn't go with that intent. I didn't do it with that intention. I just went to learn and enjoy what I was doing at the moment. And it's just a piece of paper, as my wife would tell me when I come home disappointed. And, okay, so that's that part of the story this afternoon. The first part of it is about 6 years ago, I was talking with Janine about doing a show where we would have the paintings at half price. And I had a whole bunch of them in the back room there at the gallery. So we did this show with all these paintings hanging up. They were half price. And Janine was a sweetheart, and she said, I'll give 20%. And I said, I'll give 20%. So 40% of the take of all these paintings was for an idea that I had and had been playing with for years, how to give something back. And it happened a long, long time ago, this knowing I owe something. And that was my eighth grade art teacher in Longview, Kessler Grade School, Miss B. Johnson. The name familiar to you?
Oh, now it is. Okay. I never heard this story, though. Go ahead,
okay.
Please.
Okay. Janine came up, or Miss B. Johnson came up to me the last day of school and said, Noel, when you finish high school and you know enough about girls now and you know about cars and all that kind of stuff, when you decide you need to think about what you're going to do with your life, I want you to go to the Los Angeles Arts Center. And that was the last of it. I never talked to her after that. I went ahead and found out about girls and about cars, and they're both expensive. And ended up in the Army in Germany. And I wake up one morning. I'm lying in my bunk in Germany, gray, miserable, and thinking, what am I going to do with my life? And all of a sudden, I heard Miss B. Johnson's voice say, Noel, go to the Los Angeles Art Center.
Wow.
And that's what I did. That's what I did. And I have been in art ever since, and it all came from this one wonderful person who gave me something that there's no explaining.
Now, a question. Had you been doing art in school and she noticed something in your work that made her think you've got promise? Or was it your personality that she felt was...
It was her confidence in me.
Mm-hmm.
I think more than anything, that she was that confident that she was projecting in time and everything else what I should do. So I just went with it. I just went.
Yeah.
And I got into, obviously, that set me off in an art career, and I was in advertising, and I and my wife, Patty, we made dollhouses for 30 years. And then one day, I decided, I better paint. If I'm going to paint, ever paint, I better do it. And again, the push, the confidence that Miss B. Johnson had given me has made me able to make these kinds of radical decisions, really.
Wow.
They thought I was totally insane when I announced in advertising that I was going to go away and make dollhouses.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
that sounds pretty crazy,
mm-hmm.
doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And
sounds great.
But that's what we did.
And, doesn't sound money-making, but it sounds
that's right.
Magical.
It isn't, yeah. So what we're going to do with this show is the proceeds of the show. I'm sorry, I'm jumping around.
Right, you established a fund.
Yes, we established the Miss B. Johnson Fund for Young Artists.
Is that through the Astoria Visual Arts?
Pardon?
Is that through the Astoria Visual Arts?
It wasn't in the beginning. It
okay.
wasn't. For the first 5 years, Patty and I donated money every year, gave it directly to the Mickey, what's his last name, Italian?
Cherugino.
Yes. That guy.
Mr. C, they call him.
Great guy.
Yes.
Terrific guy. Gave it to him, and he was just floored. And he said, what should I do with the money? I said, do what you want, but if you would please encourage your really talented students, and, you know, you see them right off the bat.
Yeah.
If you could push them some way by exposing them maybe to more art, better materials. I don't know how you do this. This is the problem for you to solve. And he has taken it and rolled like crazy. It's wonderful. And then, what's her name? Missy Smith.
And being an artist, he
in
is
ABA.
Very creative about doing Lisa Smith.
Huh?
Lisa.
Yeah, Lisa Smith. She got onto this. She's with the AVA, and she pursued, she really loved the idea of being able to help students in this manner, and she applied for grants and from the Columbia...
The Clatsop County...
Clatsop County Foundation.
Cultural Coalition, the same one we were talking about for the theater,
I knew it'd take two to do this.
We're doing okay.
We're doing okay. I'm very tired. I just got back from a long
I know. I hear you drove
had
right.
Lunch, had lunch
Thank
at Denise
you.
Reed.
Thank
I
you.
I could do an hour talk on that. It was great.
No, we don't have that much time. No. So where are we now? So what's happening with this show?
What's happening with this show is Janine has said that she would also help out again. And so instead of just Patty and I doing 10%, we're going to do... the whole take will be 10%. That would be Janine's too.
Mm-hmm.
So this is great. Ask me another question.
So that's going to go to the Miss B.
That will go to the Miss B. Johnson.
And does all of that go to Astoria High School then? Or
no,
does
that's
now?
Okay.
Now it goes through the AVA.
Yeah, now it goes to the AVA, which we're under their umbrella.
Right. Right. So it's a 501c3 at this point.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it includes Napa now. And, around the area.
Side,
you know,
all the schools.
Because of this, Lisa Smith applied for this grant and got it. I don't really know the details of where all the money's going to go.
You know, I think that is, I love it. Because the construct, because a whole bunch of people are involved. And the bottom line is that this is going to support the youth of our community in the arts, which is ironically the music I just played. Kelsey Mosley is for the Tillamook Head Gathering, which is in Seaside. And all the money for that is also going for arts in Seaside High School.
Fantastic.
So the more of our community
Fantastic.
That pitches in to support the young people in creative endeavors, all kinds of art. So this show that is opening a week from tomorrow night at the River Sea Gallery, which is on Commercial in Astoria, you'll have, tell me if this is right, I've jotted down unframed pencil and pen sketches. You'll have some watercolors, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a whole gamut of different media. I've played with
different
some.
Different media. Yeah. And they're mostly smaller works.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nothing really bigger than, 9 by 12. Mm-hmm. A couple might be a little bigger, but most of them are running 5x8, a lot of them.
Nice.
You know.
Nice. So there's no excuse at this point. Listen to this, folks. Noel Thomas Art, small enough to fit anywhere in your home or as a gift to send or give. And much of the proceeds go to the youth of our community. It sounds like a really perfect combination, Noel. I'm excited to see this because I, of course, am one of your many, many fans here and have your artwork in my house. Mm-hmm. Some of it unframed, I might say.
Yes.
Not small and sketchy, but unframed and beautiful. And I think it's exciting that you decided at the young age of 80 that you want to explore in another way because you've been...
It kind of snowballed into this wonderful thing.
Yeah. And again, that's the creative process. And without it, we're goners, especially these days.
Yes.
So, folks, I'll tell you more about the art walk next week. I've got a couple of artists coming from two of the other galleries in town. But we'll mention all of them and put that on your calendar for Saturday the 14th from 5 to 8. It's a wonderful time, and hopefully it won't be quite as cold. Maybe it won't even be raining, but whether or not it is, it's worth getting out and checking out the galleries. So, thank you so much, Noel.
As usual, Carol.
I love
you. Thank you.
I love it. Okay. And I just saw some guests come into the studio. We talked about it, but it wasn't a sure thing. But it is now because they're out there. So, do stay tuned for the Columbians. First, I want to play you a cut from a group that is playing tomorrow night at the Sou'Wester in Seaview, Washington. And I really like their music, but they couldn't make it in today because they're on the road. This is the Get Ahead, Juliet Howard and Nathan Earle from the Get Ahead. KMUN Astoria, Thanks for being here, folks, with Arts Live and Local. This is Carol. Yeah, well, I got some live ones in the studio, but what you were just listening to was from the album Volcano. That was Little Devil, The Get Ahead, and two of their members, Juliet Howard and Nathan Earle, are playing at the Sou'wester in Seaview tomorrow night. And I want to just tell you really quickly what else is going on, because there is a lot. And in a minute, you're going to hear from the Colombians, who are playing at the Sand Trap tonight. Also, Cannon Beach Music. There is music everywhere in this area. Thank you to Paul Duber, who sends out a whole bunch of stuff happening in the Cannon Beach area. The Bistro, Whitebird in Cannon Beach. It's the last weekend for the group exhibit. Pacific, here's a huge one, folks, that came at me. I've gone in past years. Take advantage of this if you can. Pacific University Master of Fine Arts in Writing is happening all week, 7:30 p.m. each night at the Best Western Ocean View Resort on the Prom in Seaside. The lineup is outrageous. People like Ellen Bass, Craig Leslie, Marvin Bell, and every night there are usually three different writers presenting. It's a fantastic, and it's all free. It's fantastic. It's hard to believe. It's right here in Seaside. Winecraft has RJ Marks Trio tonight, and Drift has music all week, as ever. Tillamook Head Gathering, as I've mentioned, is in Seaside tomorrow night. This is Sou'wester the Get Ahead. The Peninsula Performing Arts Center has the wonderful Rio con Brio with their Brazilian choro music in Long Beach. Tango in Astoria is alive and well at the Astoria Arts and Movement Center. Seasons Cafe in Cannon Beach has smoked salmon. I love smoked salmon. And I also love Bobcat Rice and Will Gunn, who are the musicians. Senior Center at 1 p.m. tomorrow. If you are a member of the Senior Center, and if you're not, you have to be 60 years old, I encourage you to join. Tomorrow, every Saturday, they have a film. Tomorrow's film at 1 o'clock is Defying the Nazis, The Sharps War. And you can check it out. It's at 11th and Exchange in Astoria. You can get your membership there. It's very cheap for an all-year membership. It's a great place, giving to the community. Astor Street Opry Company, they didn't ask me to say that. Astor Street Opry Company auditions noon to 2 tomorrow for Rudyard Kipling's The Jungle Book. And Maddox Studio has auditions for the Summer Dance Lab at Whitman College. Fort George has Jamie Leopold on Sunday. Our friend Gretchen Bakke grew up in Astoria much of the time, and her book, The Grid, the Fraying Wires Between Americans and Our Energy Future, is on KABU. Barbara Bernstein, our other friends, Locus Focus, and more and more and more music, including the Floating Glass Balls on Thursdays at Bill's Tavern. I think some of the people here might even know some of the people there. Hey, welcome to the Columbians. I've got Spud Siegel on mandolin, which is his usual instrument. I've got Bill Ulig on the bass. Oh, give us a note. Can you hear that, folks? Yeah. And then I've got Peter Schwimmer on a beautiful banjo. Hi, Peter. Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. You're right. That's the loudest instrument in the room. And I don't know Peter, but where are you from, Peter?
Originally or now? I live in Portland.
You live in Portland.
But originally from back east.
Okay. Back east. I love it.
New York, then Pennsylvania, okay. Then Bellingham, Washington,
that's,
then Denver.
That's close Denver. Enough. Close enough. And Peter Siegel, where were you born?
Summit, New Jersey.
We're both from back east.
And Bill Ulig, where were you born?
Schmegbaugh.
It's Longview, Washington.
Longview, Washington. And I'm from Brooklyn, New York. So we have three East Coasters originally, but now we're all here together and very happy to be so. This is the Columbians. I would love it if you'd play us some music, and then remember, they are playing tonight at the Sand Trap, which is in Gearhart. It's a great little venue, and I'd love to hear some music, and then you can tell us what else you're doing. Thank you. Oh, my God. That was fabulous.
It's taking a while to get fingers. I didn't know we were playing. I was, like, sleeping in the van all the way. So it's not warm. We're not warmed up yet. I just woke
Holy
up.
Holy cow.
I woke Peter up and said, Peter, we're going to
be on the radio.
And he goes, what? We're going to play on the radio? And he didn't know.
And my hands are they're half sleeping
well,
still.
Well, I'm a little – you're making me nervous, Peter Schwimmer, because if this is not warmed up, I'm scared to hear you when you're hot. It sounded pretty hot to me. Wow.
Well, he can play the banjo in his sleep anyway.
I gather.
But, Peter's been a great person to play with, and he also plays a great fiddle too. He'll be playing some fiddle tonight.
Oh my God.
Have to worry, you don't have to play now.
No, not now.
And we're missing, you know, our guitar player in the studio here because he's still working at Bill's Tavern. He's still pouring some beer.
That's Joel Marshall.
Joel, yeah, and he gets off work at 5, and then he'll meet us at in Gearheart. He's play 7 to 10 there.
Oh, till 10. Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah. Oh, that's even better. I thought it was 7 to 9.
It usually was. I think they just switched the venue time now.
Good.
To playing longer. And,
that's great. That's great.
Yeah.
So this, I loved it. As Noel Thomas was leaving, and Spud, that would be Peter Siegel, as opposed to Peter Schwimmer, you two were greeting each other, and Noel said to you, so what's this band you have now?
Yeah, what's this band? Well,
yeah.
We've had it for a while. I mean,
yes,
it was sort of the transition. What happened was when Bill and I both as our just life has it, we both moved to Portland, spend more time in Portland. And so it was hard for us to keep, the membership with the Floating Glass Balls that play every Thursday down at Bill's. So we did commute a little bit, and then after a while we just said, oh, you know, it's just too much. And but we still wanted to play music together. And I've been playing with Peter in another little group some. And so Joel is willing to come up to Portland and play with us as the Columbians.
Ah,
and
I
then
see.
we come down here occasionally to play.
Oh, it's wonderful. You sound fantastic. So is the Columbians in Portland the four of you then?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so I'm glad that Peter Schwimmer made it tonight. Because I wasn't sure if he was going to. So the fun part also is that Bill Ulig, who has been playing bass around here forever, as Spud has been playing mandolin and 10 other instruments around here. But Bill also left his son behind at some point, Kalen Ulig, and he I remember him with his hair down to his butt playing, your hair's still pretty long, playing bass. So where is Kalen these days?
Well, he's playing in Portland an awful lot.
He's in
Portland. Plays with Ben Rice. Oh, God, he's played with LaRonda Steele.
Yeah.
He played this bench. It's hard for me to keep up with him.
It's just...
He is apparently doing well enough to where he doesn't need a day job.
Oh, my goodness.
Which is kind of the mark of success.
I tell you, that's great.
Bum musician.
Plus, if he needed money, he'd hit you up.
Yeah, that'd be the first one.
Well, I was going to say, he's still young, remember. He doesn't have the family to support
him. You keep telling him that, because as long as he's young, I'm young.
Yeah, there you go. Well, it's really... very touching because we have another bass father and son who ended up Yitzdies.
Oh, yes.
Jim Yitzdy, and he's long gone from here, but Luke Yitzdy's playing the bass and doing beautifully here. So again, this is tonight. Since I gave all my announcements already and all my shout outs, and I want to wish everybody a good new year with lots of activism and remind you that on the January 21st is the Women's March here in Astoria, as well as Washington, D.C. and Portland and anywhere else you are. And it's not just for women, but women are taking the lead this time. So get it together and think of how you would envision. And I don't think it'll be too hard. How you want life to be in this country, at least, as well as in this world. And let's get that energy out there. And part of it is the arts. And so can I get you to play us out? We have just a couple of minutes.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Play us
Here's a song I want to do for all the farmers.
Okay.
Are we ready?
Yep.
Key of A.
Muskrat, what makes you smell so bad? hanging round the farmer, eating up all he had, eating up all he had, eating up all he had, eating up all he had. So muskrat, oh muskrat, I'll catch you sure as born. Sell your hide to trader's wife, keep some pretty gal warm. Keep some pretty gal warm, keep some pretty gal warm.
Listening to Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria 91.9, KTCB Tillamook 89.5, coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world. It's time for Free Speech Radio News. Thanks to the Colombians. Catch them tonight at the Sand Trap in Gearhart.